part of the resistance and trying to protect the country from Trump's misguided impulses. Counselor to the president, Kellyanne Conway, says they're not so sure it's a West Winger.
I just have to correct the record. It's not clear to us anyway that it's somebody in the White House. So they're saying senior administration official. That could be many people. There are, I think, thousands of political appointees, hundreds of folks who would qualify under that title alone.
She was speaking on Fox News. Meanwhile, Director of National Intelligence Dan Coats is denying that he authored that op-ed. Coats putting out a statement today saying any speculation about him or his principal deputy writing it is patently false. Coats, the former Republican senator from Indiana. And this is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less, guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Senator Bernie Sanders is taking aim at massive companies whose workers are on public assistance. The Vermont Independent introducing a bill yesterday called the Stop Bezos Act, named after the founder of Amazon, Jeff Bezos. The bill would tax companies the same amount their workers receive on public assistance. Sanders saying the American taxpayer shouldn't have to subsidize profitable corporations run by some of the wealthiest people in the nation. He also called out Burger King, McDonald's, and American Airlines. The Nike ad featuring Colin Kaepernick will be airing during the NFL season opener tonight. The ad for the company featuring the NFL quarterback who created a firestorm when he started kneeling during the national anthem before games to protest racial injustice. A two-minute version of the Nike commercial already on Twitter, also featuring LeBron James and Serena Williams. The Department of Justice plans to meet with state attorneys general this month to look into accusations that social media companies are stifling viewpoints. Facebook and Twitter officers in Washington yesterday addressing the issue. Attorney General Jeff Sessions calling for a September 25th meeting when it can be discussed further. Find us online anytime at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you. It's a beautiful day.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
On today's program, I'll have so much to discuss, I don't know where to start. I'll talk about your business's reputation management. I'll talk politics, both local and national. I'll talk Nike. I'll talk equipment loans versus leasing. I'll have five ways to improve the sales-making process. I'll ask you the question, are you client-intelligent? And I'll have breaking news on a major sports team that is ceasing operations at the end of the 2018 season. And I'll do it all in 1 hour. It's Thursday, September 6, 2018. I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business.
Taking Care of Business.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gannot, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. Before we do that, we check the weather. It's currently 95 degrees at 12:05, and it'll be cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms and a high of 91 degrees today and a low of 69. For tomorrow, we're going to have scattered thunderstorms in the morning and mainly cloudy during the afternoon with more storms likely and a high of 77 and a low of 62, but cooler temperatures will prevail. For Saturday, it'll be cloudy with scattered showers, a high of 79, a low of 58, And Sunday, cloudy with a high of 67 and a low of 59. And a current check of the financial market shows that the Dow is currently up 11.92 to 25,963.07. The NASDAQ is down 72.66 to 7922.36. S&P 500 down 12.91 to 2875.69. Oil down $1.48 to $67.24 per barrel. And gold is up $2.40 to $1,203.70 an ounce. Well, welcome to the program when it's time to get right into it. There is so much going on. In my entire broadcasting career, I cannot recall a time when news broke so fast. Almost every minute there is news breaking somewhere, usually in Washington. But it just seems like, you know, in the old days, you'd go through weeks, and then all of a sudden there'd be something. And then you scramble, and you work hard for 1 or 2 weeks, and then you're checking your sources, you're reporting as you go, and then, you know, the news cycle would die down. It was what we called a slow news day or a news cycle. I can remember being on the air when Ronald Reagan was shot, being on the air on radio, having to leave that station to get across town to the TV station that I worked at, because all of our anchors were in Pittsburgh at an affiliate meeting, and somebody had to be able to moderate that news. So that's what I'm talking about. But now it seems like you literally have to be at the anchor desk all day long, because what's news now will be old news in about an hour. So we're going to get into a lot of all that later in the program. Today's a little bit of a free-form program, if you will. And there it is. So let's start right off with, if you're listening to the program and you're doing that on the website, don't forget you can live stream the program on Facebook on our new page called Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. And we encourage you to like that page and follow along so we can give you updates as we go during the week of what we'll be talking about. At this time of the week, we always start the program with what we call the business quote of the week, and it's brought to you by Crown Trophy of Flemington. It comes today from Mark Cuban, owner of Landmark Theaters and the chairman of AXS TV, and also you know him from Shark Tank. And he says, "It doesn't matter how many times you fail. It doesn't matter how many times you almost get it right. No one is going to know or care about your failures, and neither should you. All you have to do is learn from them and those around you, because all that matters in business is that you get it right once. Then everyone can tell you how lucky you are." So again, Mark Cuban there with today's business quote of the week. It doesn't matter how many times you fail. It doesn't matter how many times you almost get it right. No one is going to know or care about your failures, and neither should you. All you have to do is learn from them and those around you, because all that matters in business is that you get it right once. Then everyone can tell you how lucky you are. How many times have you, if you are successful, have people come up to you and say, "Oh, you're so lucky. Oh, you landed that account. You're so lucky." And it's not. It's hard work that went into it. And it really, you know, kind of pisses me off when people say how lucky you are, and when you know the effort that you went through to land that account or to make that sale or something like that, or to invent a new product. And then, you know, your friends, your colleagues, whatever, call you lucky. Really drives me nuts. I think it's a little bit of jealousy on their part. All right. Also on the program, and this is one that when I put it in today's preview that I posted on Facebook and other mediums this morning, when I said I was going to talk about Nike, I just got – my inbox was blown up. I hope you bash Colin Kaepernick. I hope you bash Nike. I hope you make them bankrupt. And that really wasn't what I was going after with this piece. Nike has – for the longest time, had the campaign Just Do It. And this year they've chosen former San Francisco 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick as the face of the Just Do It campaign. And the slogan is something to the effect of, "Sometimes you have to give up everything in order to achieve something to that effect." But it surprised me that they chose Kaepernick. It surprised me that they did this, and they're going to preview it tonight on the Eagles football game, the NFL. They have a 7-year deal with the NFL that's worth millions of dollars to them in licensing fees and in uniform sales, things like that. And the NFL, being one of their major partners, is in a lawsuit right now with Colin Kaepernick for collusion against the owners. You would think that Nike would say, this may not be the right year. Obviously, Colin Kaepernick, very polarizing figure when he took a knee during the national anthem several years ago to protest racial inequality in America. Let's first start the conversation by admitting there is racial inequality in America. No getting around that. Did he use the right platform? I don't think so. But I don't know if there was another platform that he could have used that would have gotten as much attention as the one that he chose. For Nike to now endorse that, putting posters up all over, putting 2-minute commercials on the air, I'm not sure this is the right thing for the company. And their stock has taken a hit this week. And it's taken a hit in two different ways. And this is the funny thing about America, and this is what's changing so rapidly. Millennials are buying Nike stock because they believe in social causes. Older folks, and let's put that at, 30 and up, are taking their shoes and burning them in the backyard, and they're throwing out Nike shirts, and they're protesting that way. And they're saying that we have to make the company bankrupt. We have to put Nike out of business. And I can tell you, in all of my years, I don't think I've ever seen a protest that's ever resulted in a company going out of business. Monsanto has been protested for years, still in business. Several other businesses, come and go, and there's a lightning rod issue, and all of a sudden, they're still in business. So I don't think that that's going to be the aim. If you choose not to buy Nike products down the road, that's still solely up to you. I think Nike's getting the message loud and clear from America that they might have screwed the pooch on this one, but time will tell. I think it's going to hurt Nike in the short term. I think it's going to hurt the NFL much more in the long term. People were already saying, I'm not watching professional football anymore because of these protests. And now, even though the NFL came out and said, you either stand for the national anthem or you sit in the tunnel or the locker room, but there will be no on-field protests, I think the NFL is in a world of hurt as far as viewership. And I stopped watching the NFL when the players went on strike the last time. And it wasn't until somebody introduced me to fantasy football that I kind of got back into it. But I'm not the rabid fan that I once was. I'm more of a casual observer. Hey, good, the Eagles won. That's where I'm at. I don't live and die by whether or not my team wins. And now, it'll be interesting to see whether the NFL is hurt by this even further, because their viewership is way down, and what the long-term effect is to Nike. So this is one, when you talk about a business's image, and I talk about it on this program all the time, but when you talk about your business's image, how it impacts you, and when you're the owner or you're the representative of the company, you're the face of the company, you do something stupid, how does that impact your business? We're going to have to follow this and see what the impact is to Nike. Stock's down right now about $3 or $4 this week. We're starting to see that stocks are being bought, and they're being bought by millennials. Maybe that will offset it. Maybe they come out of this unscathed. Maybe they lose a bunch of customers as a result. But it'll be interesting to see whether or not, this has a long-term negative effect on Nike and on other athletes. In the commercial with Colin Kaepernick, you see LeBron James. You see Serena Williams. So it's going to be interesting to see, is there a backlash towards them because they're kind of piling on with Colin Kaepernick. This is something that just has to be monitored as we go along. It's currently 12:14. We're going to take a quick step away, and then we will talk about Tiger Woods, Barack Obama, and Donald Trump, and what they all seem to have in common this week. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inChamberRadio.com.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And I've been taking care of business every day, taking care of business. Every way I've been taking care of business, it's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime will help.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HunterdonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, with you every week at this time to talk about issues affecting businesses, large and small, here in Flemington and on the national scene as well. And we talk about everything from customer service to sales, marketing, social media, etc. So hopefully there's always something in it for you. There is a lot of, God, I don't even know what to call it. There's a lot of stuff going on in Washington, D.C. that is impacting the way people can do business. You know, in the old days, if you disagreed with somebody on their politics, you could talk it out. Now it becomes a fight. So here's a couple of thoughts on what's currently going on. So Donald Trump, there's a book out now by Bob Woodward from the Washington Post called Fear. And although he never interviewed Donald Trump for the book, it is full of stories about a White House run amok, if you will, almost as if they're painting Donald Trump as being not fit to be president. They're saying that at some point members of the staff were inquiring with members of Congress about invoking the 25th Amendment, which would make it able to remove a sitting president. and so that news comes out over the weekend. Bombshell book coming out. Yesterday in the New York Times, an anonymous op-ed piece ran suggesting that a deep state, if you will, was running the country, that they would let Trump have his fits and his things and his Twitter rages, but really they were kind of shielding him and kind of doing things on their own in order to get the business of the country done. They did admit that there were some wins within the Trump presidency, but that they feared more that he was not fit to be the leader. So that brought up a question a week or two ago. Tiger Woods was in a golf tournament, and he was playing in the Northern Trust tournament, and for some reason a reporter questioned him and said, you know, you're friends with Trump, you've known him for 20 years, you've golfed at his resorts. What do you think about, you know, Trump? And Tiger Woods said, he's the president of the United States. You have to respect the office. No matter who's in the office, you may like, dislike personality or the politics, but we all must respect the office. This came back and had several conversations with people. Have we lost the respect for the presidency? And if so, when would you point that that moment happened. And a lot of people say, well, it happened when Trump was elected. A lot of other people would say it's when Obama was elected. Others point to Bill Clinton and the whole Monica Lewinsky affair. I go back as far as Richard Nixon and Watergate. So have we lost respect for the presidency? Have we lost, if you will, our patriotism and our respect for that office? Forget the occupant for a minute, just the office. Think about when you were in school. You probably had a picture of the president in your classroom. And we all knew who the president was. Obviously, he wasn't, you know, on the news every 35 seconds, but we didn't communicate with him via Twitter. We waited for press conferences and things like that. But have we lost the respect for the office? Forget the inhabitant, for just the office. So last night, I couldn't sleep, and I got up and I watched some Netflix, and there was an interview with David Letterman on his show, My Next Guest Needs No Introduction, and it was the first episode from the first season where he interviewed former President Barack Obama. And this question came up at about the 50-minute mark during the interview, and he kind of asked, and David was a staunch supporter of Barack Obama, and he kind of asked, you know, what do you think of our current inhabitant? And I think President Obama summed it up best. And he goes, it doesn't matter what I think. And it doesn't, and he goes, what matters is that we respect the office of the President of the United States and the position and the power and the right, the responsibilities that that office has. And I don't think we have that respect anymore for the office. And I don't think it's Obama's fault. And I don't think it's Trump's fault. I think it's just a general waning, if you will, of patriotism and belief in our country. And maybe it's because when we went through that deep recession a couple of years ago, people, you know, were waiting for the government to help them out, and it never came. But it just seems like we've lost that respect for the office of the president. ESPN's Max Kellerman went after Tiger Woods on his show First Take, saying that that response of respect the office made him angry. He said, you can't ignore who's in the office. And yet here you have a former president, Barack Obama, saying, forget about it. He goes, people didn't like me, but they respected the office. And that's where I think America as a whole has to get their head wrapped around that. You know, let's respect the office. Let's not, the wolves are circling, if you will. The hawks are flying and circling, and the vultures, and everybody's waiting for the next big news thing. Is it going to be the Mueller investigation? Is it going to be someone coming out and saying they're the author of the anonymous op-ed piece? Some people have already indicated that Vice President Mike Pence, because of one word in that op-ed that was used, and he uses it all the time, that it's him. So it'll be interesting if that comes out, but I think we have to get back to a time in this country where we respect the office of the President of the United States. While we're on the subject of politics, locally, a local politician, a borough council member here in Flemington, posted a story last week that got over 200 comments about TGI Fridays in Flemington closing. And she blamed it on the local politicians. She blamed it on the mayor. She blamed it on some of the members of the town council. And she also blamed the redesign of the Flemington Circle. And on all three points, she missed it. It wasn't the politicians' fault because they weren't in office when the circle was being redesigned 22 years ago. You know, and we've all lived through it. We all experienced it. And so many people say the circle is better now. And yet, Friday's closing, she took as a chance to bash her opponents. Couldn't have been more wrong if she tried. I posted a reply that was eventually taken down, probably because it was full of common sense. The Route 202 corridor from Bridgewater all the way to Pennsylvania is basically a bypass. People just get on there and go to Pennsylvania. They go to Doylestown, they go to New Hope, wherever. They're not stopping along the way. And I have seen so many businesses between Flemington and Bridgewater close, restaurants, other businesses, because people just don't stop. There was one restaurant, Nick's 202 Barbecue. An IHOP couldn't make it in that location. And if an IHOP can't make it, or an IHOB, whatever they are now, I don't think that it's the business. I think it's more, you know, the location. And it's the same thing out here. Did Fridays, you know, have a good run? Yeah. But then so many other chain markets came in here. Now you have the Chimney Rock Inn opening up with a liquor license. Where are you going to go? if it's me, I'm going to the Chimney Rock Inn. We go there all the time in Bridgewater. So I don't think it, I think it's kind of irresponsible on the part of a local politician to spread this kind of, I'd rather just deal in facts. Tell me the facts. Give it to me. And this is another thing that, you know, President Obama said last night during that interview was just the facts, not what you feel. What are the facts? And that's what I'd rather see here. A local politician, a planning board, no, but you can't tell the State Department of Transportation what to do. They're going to do what they do. You can give your input, but they're going to go ahead and do what they do anyway. So shame on that local politician for trying to blame others for a bigger problem. Also in Bridgewater, Ruby Tuesdays just closed just a few weeks ago. So again, in the Wegman Shopping Center, where you have people driving in all day long to do their grocery shopping, if you can't make it there as a restaurant, you have bigger problems. So local politicians need to watch themselves as well. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Another point that I wanted to make was, and this is on a national scene, in the teaser for today's show, was that a national sports team is going to cease operations at the end of this season. Now, when you hear something like that, you know, your first inclination might be, are the Yankees going out of business? Are the Flyers? Are the Eagles? And it's none of them. But in NASCAR, Furniture Row Racing is ceasing operations. Now, NASCAR works on a sponsorship deal. The owners put in a certain amount of money, but then they go to sponsors. You get your logo on the hood of the car, and then you're the primary sponsor. 5-Hour Energy has left Furniture Row Racing. They say they're not going to be involved in race team operation next year. And the team owner, Barney Visser, citing health concerns from a heart attack last year and the lack of funding, has basically said, I'm not going to put any more of my personal money into this, so we're going to shut down the operation. The weird thing about this is that last year, Furniture Row Racing and driver Martin Truex Jr., they won the championship. And here, you know, a year later, they're going to be out of business. So these are trying times, not just within your own industry, but in all industries. So let's talk for a minute. I want to get now back into the business side of the program. And I apologize for the rant, the rage, and the tirade, but so just so much going on lately. When you're preparing a show like this, and I have everything scripted out, ready to go, and then all of a sudden, boom, the news cycle just hits. It's like, man, I need a microphone in my living room so I can just start talking. So equipment loans versus leasing, which is better for your business? And I'm going to add a third component to that, and that would be buying outright. So the question is, should you take out a loan or should you rent and save that purchase decision for a future date? These are the basics of loans versus leasing for small business. And as an entrepreneur, you may be looking to invest in new machinery, technology, or other types of expensive equipment to take your business to the next level. But equipment can be expensive, and you may not have that spare cash to pay in full upfront. So should you take out a loan to pay for it, or should you rent and save that purchase decision for later? There's two options that might be best for your business circumstances. So an equipment loan or equipment financing is a loan that helps you get a new or used piece of equipment right away by using the equipment itself as collateral. The application process typically only takes a few days, and once you're approved, you'll make steady payments towards your borrowed principal plus interest and fees. Because of the security that your equipment provides, you typically won't need to provide as much paperwork to your lender during the application process as you would with other types of loan products. Likewise, many lenders will approve young businesses or those with a less than stellar credit report for equipment loans more readily. If you've shied away from financing because of concerns about meeting a lender's requirements, take another look at equipment loan options. You may be more qualified than you think. One notable risk with equipment financing is that by the time you've fully paid off the loan, the equipment could become obsolete. So keep in mind that with interest and fees, getting an equipment loan will cost you more in the long run than purchasing that equipment flat out. However, it may be worth it if you don't have the cash or want to avoid depleting your resources. Now, equipment leasing is like an equipment loan, but with leasing, it involves making steady payments over an agreed-upon period of time. Leasing usually doesn't require any collateral or money down, and once your lease is up, you may be presented with the option to renew your lease and your lease and return the equipment or buy the equipment outright. If you know a piece of equipment will become obsolete or only need it temporarily, equipment leasing may be the way to go. So keep in mind that unlike an equipment loan, you won't necessarily own your equipment once your term is up, which may or may not suit your business. Either option may come with different tax incentives, so make sure to consult an accounting professional. Questions they ask when choosing between leasing and loans: how long will I use this equipment? Does this equipment run the risk of becoming obsolete in the near future? Do I have old equipment to trade in? Leasing equipment often gives you the opportunity to trade in your old equipment, saving you the trouble of finding a buyer and putting a little extra cash in your pocket. And of course, what's the state of your credit? If your business is healthy and mature enough to be seeking other types of financing and you're concerned about saving your credit for other needs, leasing may be the better option than a loan. On the other hand, if your business is young and you're eager to start building credit, an equipment loan might be the best solution. After weighing those choices, you may want to reconsider purchasing as an option too. It's often the cheapest way to go, and it's often it may not hit your cash flow right up front. So you want to take a big picture view of your business. When we talked, and that's a great story, a great article, you know, weighing do I lease or do I take out a loan. But one of the other things that you want to consider that we talked with Mike Michalowicz about, the author of Profit First, was can you set up an account? If you don't need the equipment right away, but it's something you know in the future is going to be a need for your business, can you set up an account now, put money away every pay period so that eventually you have that nest egg? We're doing it right now. We know we want to get a six-head embroidery machine. We know we want to get a six-head screen press, but we're waiting. And we know that we can get that money put away so that we can pay cash up front, probably make a better deal, negotiate a better deal that way, and then know that we won't have any payments as a result. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. We got to step away for the news. When we come back, we're going to talk about reputation management and a strategy that gets you results. We'll be right back.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
A mass shooting in downtown Cincinnati this morning leaves several people dead. The Cincinnati Police Chief Elliot Isaac says
the shooter is deceased. We also have five victims that sustained injuries. Of those five, we have received word that three of those five are deceased as well.
The chief says officers were called shortly after 9 a.m. local time to the Fountain Square 5th Third location, an office tower where there were reports of shots fired. Police exchanged gunfire with the suspect. It's not clear if the suspect died of his own hand or by a police bullet. Private payroll processor ADP says 163,000 jobs were created in August by the U.S. economy. The government jobs report's due out tomorrow. Analysts say it'll show at least 180,000 new jobs. This is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you, we'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
And I've been taking care of business.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington. So glad you could join me on this beautiful, bright, sunny afternoon, 95 degrees. So a reminder to anybody working outside, stay hydrated today. And another little safety tip is if you have to go out, let's say you're just running an errand, grocery shopping or whatever, take a bottle of water with you just in case something happens, car breaks down, you get a flat tire, you're stuck on the side of the road for an hour, you're still going to need to be hydrated. So that safety tip brought to you by HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. www.thefountainsquare.com. I want to talk for a second about an article that I wrote for LinkedIn this week. I released it on Tuesday and mentioned on last week's show I was going to talk about it. But the title of the article is called "Are You Clientelligent?" And I'll read it to you here, and then we can discuss it in later. But the theme is, how well do you know your client or customer, and are you clientelligent? It's a benign question, to be sure, but and some business owners will tell me the name of their clients and that they and how much they spend with their business, but that's not what I'm asking with that question. What I want to know is, what do you know about your clients, your customers? Are they married? Are they single? Do they have a dog, kids, a favorite sports team? What do they do for fun? Where do they go on vacation? What interests do they have? Hobbies, birthdays, anniversaries? Do you know them? And so many times, business owners fail that simple question. They don't know their customers. Years ago, the United States Golf Association profiled one of their staff photographers in their monthly magazine, and there was a picture of all the filing cabinets that he had stuffed with photos of professional golfers from the 1950s to present day. On one filing cabinet, he placed a post-it note that read, "I'm like the FBI. I have a file on everyone." And I love that quote. And later in my career, I realized that I adopted it in how I dealt with my customers and clients. I chose to get to know them on a personal level, particularly when I was in the recruiting field. In today's "Gee, I love it, gotta have it, send it to me now" Amazon world, it seems as if we are losing the importance of getting to know the people that we do business with. Everything seems so transactional now. Think of the last time you went to the grocery store. What was the person's name who checked you out? Did you even ask? Did you remember? Do you remember the waitress's name at a restaurant 2 minutes after she introduces herself to you? Most people fail this test often. I don't. And the service I receive as a result is superior to the people at the table next to me because I take an interest in who I'm dealing with in all aspects of my daily life. Now, if I was dealing with a company that only wanted to know my name, address, phone number, and email address, they wouldn't need to hire a human, just a computer. But by personally interacting with the customer, developing a relationship with them, and getting to know them, I'm making it so that they will want to do business with me and my company. My staff and I take an interest in them and their business or organization. We develop a relationship with them and they with us. It's a two-way street. We also share with them our interests as we look for common ground together. Some of our customers have gone on to be our biggest advocates and have referred our business to their friends, coworkers, bosses, and family members. Then we start the process all over again with these new customers, and we get to know them as well. We document important facts like birthdays and anniversaries, and we can send them cards and emails or to wish them a great day. The personal touch goes a long way. One gentleman, who was always very busy in his job, traveling over 200 days per year, asked me to remind him of his anniversaries a day or two before so he would remember to buy his wife something nice. Who knows? Maybe we're saving marriages too. I never want a customer to feel as if we only see them as a dollar sign when they do business with us. By getting to know them and collecting that clientelligence about them, they never do. The information we gain can also help us in their next dealing with us as we try to meet their needs, wants, and likes better. But in order to do that, I need to first learn more about them than their name, rank, and serial number. So after hearing this, I need you to assess your client database and grade yourself on how well you actually know your customers and clients. Be honest, not just their name, but 3 to 4 personal things about them. You can email me your grade later. And what will you do to improve it moving forward? Any CRM software program has a notes and calendar section where you can input this newfound data for later use. I was at a trade show recently. I was very happy to see one of my favorite vendors there. When we had a private moment, I asked him how his health was. The last time I had seen him, about a year ago, he told me that he was diagnosed with throat cancer. With tears in his eyes, he said, "You know what? I've been here for 3 days at this show, and although everyone knows about my situation, you're the only one who asked me how I'm doing. Everything is great, the cancer's in remission, and I have my strength back." He thanked me for taking a genuine interest in him, and it has solidified our business relationship and our personal friendship as well. I urge you to get to know the people you deal with as customers, vendors, and your employees. If you want to compete and survive in today's business climate, you have to be different to be remembered. The best place in my mind to do that is by knowing your customers and becoming clientelligent. So going back to the one part of the story, there was a gentleman that traveled all over the world working in the pharmaceutical industry. And one day I called him and I said, Jack, you know, this is Jim Gonneau from Management Recruiters. And he goes, Jim, I'm really sorry. I just remembered. It's my birthday. I've got to run out and get something for my wife. So I wrote that down on my calendar, Jack's, you know, anniversary. And the following year, I put it for one day ahead. And I called him. And I had been calling for 365 days. I'd be calling periodically, trying to get an appointment with this gentleman. Never got it. So finally, the day before, I call him up. And I said, Jack, it's Jim Gonneau. Just wanted to remind you, tomorrow's your anniversary. Make sure you get your wife something nice. And I hung up the phone. He called back about an hour later, and he goes, you, my friend, just saved me yet again. And for the next 6 years, I would always call him the day before because he was so busy. And how you forget your anniversary, I'm not really sure. But it was he was so consumed by the job that he would forget this simple thing like his anniversary. And when I called him that second time, he had time, and he finally said, look, I've got three positions I need you to work on. Here they are. I'll get you cleared through HR. You know, we're good to go. We became very good friends. We still maintain a friendship since I've left the company, but it's great to know that that personal touch has paid off in so many different ways. And as he left that company and went to another, he took me with him. So that's what I'm talking about by client intelligence. Can you learn more about your customers than just their name, their address, and their email address and phone number? What do they like? If you see them wearing a Giants t-shirt, bam, you got your first bit of information. Just say, Giants fan? And then when they say, oh, yeah, I love Eli Manning, great. Remember that. Write it down somewhere. Put it in a CRM software. If the Giants are doing well and they come back in your store 8 weeks later, but man, you must be happy as a Giants fan. Oh, yeah, you know, this is a great time. That's what I'm talking about. More than just transactions. That's what I'm looking for everybody to get out of being client intelligent. If you're looking for that article or you want to share that with anybody, it's on my LinkedIn page. You can go to LinkedIn, search me, Jim Gonneau, and it's currently the top article there. Are you client intelligent? So hopefully that will be your mission moving forward, that if you're not, then you do become client intelligent. When we come back, we're going to talk about the top five trends in customer service innovation for 2018. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Retail Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hunt and Hunterdon every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hunt and Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
All you lucky dog, you're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inchamberradio.com. So glad you could join me on this hot afternoon, 95 degrees. Going to cool down after tonight. Should be some showers rolling through and then hopefully cooling off into the 70s for tomorrow and into the weekend. So enjoy those cooler temps and make sure that you stay hydrated out there today. Talking to you, Josh. So if you're out there doing your landscaping work and your crew, keep them keep them cool and keep them hydrated. Let's talk about customer service innovation. When we talk about words like innovation and customer service, I kind of wonder, you know, sometimes like, are there new ways of providing customer service? And there is, if you embrace certain technologies. So the new technology allows companies to help customers help themselves while requiring less support from human reps. When it comes to monitoring the quality of customer support today, most companies rely on metrics. How quickly was the call picked up, or how quickly was the email answered? Was the customer issue resolved on the first contact? And while these numbers are important, they don't get to the heart of what makes a great customer experience, making a customer feel good. Unfortunately, there's no easy way to measure happy. So to leave customers feeling positive, companies need to ensure that service is fast, personalized, and effective when it's necessary. To make it rarely necessary, the same company should be striving to make live support an option of last resort because of the availability of effective, convenient, multi-channel self-service options. And above all, customers like to help themselves. Now, with that in mind, here are five innovative ways that top firms are squaring that circle and delivering the type of customer service that customers want. You can have a smart chatbot to improve self-service. Now, automated chatbots or chat-based personas that use artificial intelligence and machine learning to find answers for customers and deliver them in natural language have come a long way. Think of Amazon's Alexa or Apple's Siri. Facebook has facilitated the development of the modern chatbot with its Messenger technology, which can be customized into a branded chatbot for any company. Analyst group Accenture has identified chatbots as one of the most exciting customer service technologies of the near future, primarily because it can significantly reduce the number of contacts that need to be handled by human agents, leaving the real people available to deal only with the most complex calls. With good design and implementation, we have repeatedly seen that more than 80% of sessions being resolved by a chatbot, which would have otherwise been handled by a human agent in a chat session or call, according to an Accenture white paper. Mobile first is no longer an option. Customers continue to be multi-channel users. They want to browse and call simultaneously. They may look something up on a website before they visit a retail store, but nowhere is the multi-channel trend more in evidence than on the smartphone. The modern smartphone is a multi-channel customer support device all in one. It has voice, SMS, web, video, and email, and customers are increasingly expecting that companies they buy from to be reachable on all of these channels. This becomes easier with a great mobile app. With an up-to-date app, mobile is no longer just another channel. It's a constant companion to your customers on their journey, ready and able to answer questions or provide guidance whenever and wherever it's wanted. With mobile, the customer journey decentralizes, becoming a series of non-linear, mobile-centric micro-moments, mimicking everyday consumer activity and communication, according to digital analyst Brian Solis. This sets the stage for relevant brand and product serendipity. Social media is becoming a two-way street. Most companies today have a social media presence, but just like in the early days of the web, they treat it as a one-way show or a broadcast medium. Customers today are used to communicating in social media. However, if they post a complaint, they want a response. If they ask a question, they expect an answer. A good social media support platform such as Zendesk can ensure that social media is another full-fledged customer support channel. It's critical to treat these outreach efforts as urgently as you do telephone calls, according to Zendesk Meghana Kalidar. Though social media may not be as instantaneous as phone or live chat support, it isn't wise to let tweets and comments remain unanswered for very long. Data shows that expected response times can vary from minutes to hours, but it's always best to err on the side of immediacy. Face-to-face digital customer care changes everything. The telephone can be a limiting customer support channel, particularly for complex products. Enter live video customer support, which is easier today thanks to a technology called WebRTC, or real-time communications. WebRTC supported browsers or mobile apps allow customers to easily initiate a video chat with just a click to seek personalized live video service. Do-it-yourself WebRTC, while possible, doesn't usually result in high quality. Video solution providers such as Agora.io ensure that WebRTC connections maintain their quality even in poor network connectivity environments, thanks to constant monitoring and smart routing through network data centers. Running WebRTC over a poor cellular connection usually means results that are uninspiring at best and unfeasible at worst, said Tony Zhao, who's the founder and CEO of Agora. While we might be accepting of latency and poor quality in a Skype call, customers aren't going to be forgiving in their first video experience is a bad one. And finally, helping employees make happy happen. Customer support employees who can make customers happy are invaluable today. Customer-centric companies understand this, so they find ways to measure, encourage, and reward the behavior. When a customer returns a positive review on a support session, acknowledge it. Today, many workforce management solutions have modules designed to motivate employees to engage customers and reward them when they do based on a concept of gamification, or rewarding points and badges for a job well done, similar to a video game. Consistently, high-ranking employees can then be referred for real benefits such as a gift card, a premium parking spot, or first pick at a vacation home. Gamification has become widespread in the business world as companies recognize that the fun, competition, and positive reinforcement of call center games can motivate employees to achieve their highest potential, according to InContact's Chandler Galt. And while traditional performance goals can be vague or unimportant to employees, gamification builds a culture of achievement by providing measurable challenges and then acknowledging accomplishments in real time. One of the biggest takeaways is that today, customers want to be in control of the customer experience rather than patiently waiting for customers to attend to them. They want multi-channel experiences, and they want to dictate their own customer journey. The key to making them happy is to be the best possible traveling companion on the customer's journey. The only problem or concern I have with that is relying on technology solely to handle your customer satisfaction. When there is a problem, and maybe it's just me, I'm a little old school, I like to talk to somebody. I want to know that they understand what's wrong and why or how we can fix it. And I'm very patient with people. You know, I'll listen to them. Tell me how to fix the problem, but I want to know that there's somebody there who's as concerned that I have a problem as they are. And we do the same thing in our business, that I don't want a customer, you know, relying on a computer to tell them that, you know, their new parts will be shipped out. I want them to know that, you know, we care about it. And if I got to drive up to their house to make it happen, we'll do it. Let's talk about the sales process for a minute, and five ways to help improve the process of making a sale. Now, just as the act of making a sale is important, so is the process. And there's five strategies that can help create sales processes that may lead to higher conversion rates. And here's a well-known fact. Without sales, your company will not grow. Simple, huh? The lifeline of your company rests on the company's ability to generate revenue from selling products or services in a consistent manner, you know, making a sale. And just as the act of making a sale is important, so is your team's process. And while sales compensation is surely a big motivator for getting your team to hit their sales goals, there are other ways to enhance your team's sales strategy and process. So here are five ways to help improve your team's process of making a sale. First, you want to establish clear sales goals. Now, often a company will determine its annual sales target for the next year during its end-of-year budgeting process, whether it's top-down or bottom-up approach. Your team's individual salespersons will have specific targets, which should all roll up to the targeted sales total. As a business owner, it's important to get your team comfortable with their individual sales target and chart out a clear path to achieving their goals. If you have concerns about your team's ability to hit their sales goals, try to express these concerns and readjust the goals as necessary. Posing the following questions can help you pressure test whether your team members can hit their goals. Does my salesperson have a service area or product line that's well established, or is it national? Am I expecting my salesperson to generate their sales target from different customer types? Will their other responsibilities prevent him or her from hitting their target? Is their sales target realistic given the market opportunity? You also want to encourage your team to develop a routine for their sales efforts. A sales productivity booster is developing a routine for sales efforts. There are so many distractions in our daily lives, from a constant barrage of email and news feeds to the onslaught of social media. So encouraging your sales team to develop and then stick to a routine can help. In my recruiting days, it was very simple. 75 marketing calls in the morning, 75 recruiting calls in the afternoon. Don't deviate. You know, have a plan, work your plan. And then you want to make sure you want to prevent your team from getting distracted by encouraging them to make recurring appointments on the calendar so that the team can protect the time and ensure that their efforts result in making a sale. You want to get other senior leaders involved in the sales process. When the firm concentrates sales efforts on one person, be it the CEO or a dedicated salesperson, making a sale is difficult. Instead, consider leveraging other senior leaders, such as the CTO or CFO, in the sales process. Senior leaders are often helpful in closing a deal and demonstrating the firm's sincere commitment to its clients. And you can create a culture that embraces senior leader engagement by making it easier for your senior leaders to participate in the process of making the sale. You also want to understand your company's sales process inside and out. Without a deep understanding of how customers buy your products and services, it would be difficult for a firm to hit its sales targets. So you have to have that deep understanding of how they buy your products. And the sales process can be daunting and overwhelming, but your ability to understand that process will make it a lot easier. Does your sales process last a few hours or stretch out over months? Where do you find customers who are willing and able to buy what you have to offer? Do your customers rely on referrals to make a buying decision, and if so, which ones? Who is the decision maker for the goods or services you are selling? What is the typical amount of money a customer spends on your product or service, and what is the conversion rate? And then finally, you want to constantly measure your progress and then adapt. Measuring your progress allows you to gauge the effectiveness of your sales team's approach. It allows you to see how the team is tracking towards the firm's goals and if any modifications need to be made along the way. So make sure that, you know, you understand the process, you communicate it well to your team, they're following it to the letter. Don't let them deviate left and right, because all of a sudden the caboose, you know, will fall off the rails. You're going to want to make sure that if you have a process that's tried and true and it works, that everybody's following it the same way. In sports, in NASCAR news, the Monster Energy Series teams are heading to an Indianapolis Motor Speedway for the Brickyard 400 this Sunday. This will be the last race before the 10-race playoffs begin and the last chance to qualify, with only two transition spots remaining. In other major NASCAR news, it was announced Tuesday that Furniture Row Racing, which fields the number 78 car for 2017 Series champion and New Jersey native Martin Truex Jr., will cease operations after this season because they were unable to replace 5-Hour Energy as a full-time sponsor on their car. Team owner Barney Visser cited health concerns and increasing funding costs as other reasons he would shutter the operation. In Major League Baseball, the Red Sox, Indians, and Astros lead their divisions in the American League, while the Braves, Cubs, and Rockies lead their divisions in the National League. In NFL football, Week 1 kicks off tonight with the Philadelphia Eagles playing the Atlanta Falcons. This week, the Jets will play the Detroit on Monday night, and the Giants will host the Jaguars on Sunday. In NCAA football, it's Week 2, and Rutgers will host Urban Meyer-less number 4 Ohio State, with interim head coach Greg Schiano, who coached Rutgers earlier in his career. And number 13 Penn State plays interstate rival Pittsburgh Saturday at 8 p.m. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today. And I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well, when he said, "Never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best." If you have ideas for upcoming programming topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGaneau83, or on Facebook on our new page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Ganeau. I'm Jim Ganeau, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody. And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime. You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
A mass shooting at a bank headquarters building in downtown Cincinnati. It happened shortly after 9 a.m. local time and leaves four people dead, counting the gunman. Police Chief Elliot Isaac explains.
An individual entered the loading dock area of the building, began firing shots, then proceeded to the lobby area of the building where he was engaged by several of our officers. There were gunshots exchanged. At this point, the shooter is deceased.
No word on the shooter's ID nor his possible motive. Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh being pressed by Democrats.